It is Free Radio. I'm Adam Wilborn. Very pleased to welcome back on his birthday, John Newman. Hello.
Silence.
What a way to start the birthday.
I know. Cheers, guys.
How are you, mate?
I'm really good. How are you, man?
I'm good. So when you heard you were coming back to Free Radio on this radio tour, what was the first thought that went through your head?
Just got to do an interview here and being here to do an interview before. That was it, really.
Have you tried to wipe the memory of me beating you at the one thing you're actually good at, ping pong, from your mind?
No.
Okay. Does it haunt you every day? Or
look, it's just a kid's game, so I don't really play it anymore anyway, so it's fine.
Do you still have the personalised bat?
I got rid of that after that day. Oh. I kind of moved on. The day after we...
I'll be honest, I haven't. I've dined out on that story for about a year and a half. So.
This is not true. I've been practicing every second I can.
Picture of me on the wall throwing darts at it or something like that. It has been ages since we've seen you, of course. You've been away doing so much cool stuff. And what's been the best bit that you've done since you've been away?
Do you know what? I've had an amazing experience in general. Since I've been, let's say, away from the public eye almost, because it feels like that. I've been out in LA for 6 months, previous to 3 months here back at home. And basically, I've been there making a record because I wanted to make my new record that felt good in the sun whilst driving. And that's why I went to LA in the first place. And LA is a place that, just to talk about living there for 6 months, is people kind of go, oh, you've been in LA, you know, and it's not, you know, it's incredible if you use it in the right way, because, you know, you'll find yourself stood there having a conversation with somebody, and I think for about half an hour, you'll get about 1 minute of talking if you are lucky, because there's this tendency of people to talk about successful people as a currency there and things, and talk about themselves quite a lot. And you've got to avoid the places where that goes on the most. And because I know the question you asked me, and I'm moving on to that, is the most amazing thing from us moving away from that and avoiding that whole talking scene was to just drive. And me and my best friend Tom, we drove many, many miles for many, many hours, every opportunity we could. And, you know, we went to Flagstaff, Arizona, to then see a meteor crater the following day, and then to the Grand Canyon, drove back, and we did Death Valley and Vegas and San Francisco and Pacific Coast Highway. And we really experienced it in what was almost like a Disneyland adventure.
Yeah.
And that was the incredible thing for me growing up as a kid. I didn't see that. Because I grew up in a small town in North Yorkshire. I never thought I would travel. I thought I'd fall off the edge of the world when I got off the train at Leeds. So it was incredible for me, that, and very, very inspiring to make a record based around that.
And what did you miss the most when you were over in the States working on this album then?
I miss my family, obviously. That's the first. What was that, by the way? The first thing I've got to say, really, so I don't get beaten up when I go home, is my mother. No, that's true. I did miss my mother a lot, and my girlfriend. But then the thing that I missed, I think, the most was seasons. And I was talking about this. It was the feeling of an autumn day, because we were there through from the back end of summer through autumn to the start of the year. So I missed seasons. Because we had Christmas there. I missed autumn leaves and that crisp feeling in the air and people starting to put scarves on. And this sounds ridiculous. And then I missed Christmas and the feeling of white snow, but that never happens in England anyway.
Rain on Christmas Day.
Rain. I never missed the feeling of rain. I think I just imagined the UK to be a lot like the perfect seasons were happening while we were there, I guess. But you do miss a gloomy rainy day. I mean, you get rainy days, but they're like torrential rain and everyone's celebrating because the drought is over. But you miss like warm sofa days, you know.
Is there any home comforts that you really missed out, or any food specifically that you Because I imagine, because I'm going out there this summer, and I imagine pork pies and like cheese sandwiches are going to be the two things that I'm going to be desperate to get my hands on when I get back.
You'll be all right with them because it's not. I don't know whether they have pork pies. I don't know. They don't have pasties.
Oh, what?
No, we had a very long conversation for a very long time, which resulted in me saying I'll freeze some and bring them over. But no, that went on. Like, they don't have pastas. What was the thing that they had that weren't pastas? They had something in replacement, which was exactly the same as a pasta.
But there's no such thing as Greggs over in the States.
No. We used to do that. So we'd go for, like, two-month periods and then fly back, and we'd stay here for, like, a week and go back out. And we'd always get into Heathrow, get down the M25, and then I live out in Kent now, so we'd be going down the M2, and we'd be straight away, we'd be like, Greggs, yeah, definitely. And we'd smash like three pasties and then be like, I don't want a Greggs for ages.
Yeah, you've had your fill once with that. But you've been in some pretty cool stuff as well, which you've been away. You were at the Monaco Grand Prix with Ferrari. That must have been an incredible experience.
It was, and it was in a very sentimental way, because when I was growing up as a kid, I was studying to be a mechanic. And there was talk of me going to work for a supplier of Ferrari, a person that...
Oh, wow.
It was a company that helped build the body parts for the F1 cars. So they did all the fiberglassing and everything, preparation of the body parts for, like, the shell for the F1 cars. And there was talk of me doing that, and it was really exciting and everything. And then I just realised that it wasn't... It was going somewhere, but it was going to take a while, and I'd probably end up in the same town if I bought a garage, if I started building my own cars and selling them, if I customising cars and selling them. It was probably going to be in Settle, where I grew up. So I needed to do something that was different. That I needed to kind of just go, do you know what? I've got to jump into the deep end and get out of here. And it was my brother that said, go and do the music you've been doing every night in your little studio, in your little shed. Why don't you go and do that? And I did. And studied all my music theory and got into Leeds College of Music. So it felt like I took a different road on that day, almost, when I went into Leeds, because you can't build a car in a studio flat six floors up in the middle of Leeds. And it felt like I turned off and went down the route of music, and I could never afford to have anywhere that had a garage or be accessible to build go-karts or anything like that. So being stood in that garage in Ferrari, with Ferrari, was a bit like, it was very sentimental because I was there performing at the Grand Prix, and it was the first time I realised that my cars and my music had come back together, and it felt amazing because I felt like a child again.
You felt like having a go at being on the pit team.
Yeah, very much. It was amazing to watch, though, as a mechanic, a trained mechanic, to watch them, because that's the best of the best of the best.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a kid that wants to be a musician going to watch the Beatles when they're in the prime, whatever. You know, it's incredible.
But like you say, you've gone back and done your music instead, and you've got this new album that you've worked on. And when we spoke about it on the phone, you were saying how different this is to your first album, and that's mainly to do to sort of how you are right now. Is that right?
Yeah, I just learned a lot through the process of touring with Tribute. I think where it worked for a live audience, where it didn't, where it worked on radio when we came to... You know, because the weird thing is, you work up to making a record, you work, and then it gets to the point where you've done it, that's it. You can't do anything, I have no decision.
Yeah.
And you've kind of got to presume that will be all right on radio. After Discovery, I'd sit and listen to my singles of my last album and go, all right, didn't punch through radio as much as I'd hoped it to. I mean, I can even find flaws in Love Me Again where I'm like, it's muddy on the bottom end. It could have done with a bit of tightening up in places and stuff. And the execution of the dubstep bit in the middle eight, I didn't feel like I'd quite nailed that in the way that I wanted to, because I was rushed. And a lot of it is because you're rushed.
Mm.
A lot of it is letting things go because you're rushed. And I haven't done that on this time. I've given myself a lot of time. My record label have only just started going, where's your album? And then I deliver it. And then, you know, instead of being 10 months away from having an album and then going, where's your album? And you're like, oh God, I'm just starting, you know. So I've got everything prepared. I've designed all the videos. I've designed all the clothes for the live set. I've designed the live set stage. I've designed the website. I've kind of done everything and prepared and ready to go. So this time there's not as much pressure on. And also I've been able to have the freedom to be able to execute in the way that I want to and that I won't regret. I'll still